Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, February 16th, 2014. Pastor Paul Tolbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Before you see the review on the screen of chapter 17 and what that artist does so very well, I want to remind you of a couple of things that God wrote down in his word. What happens is during the week, we talk. And people come up to me and they say things that are just right on the mark. Things like, Pastor, I really don't like reading this part of God's word. It just is really, yuck. There's a lot of killing. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of bad talking. There's a lot of deceitfulness. It's just not good. And it just is, just brings me down. It just, it's a hard thing. And I say, yeah, it is. So then the follow-up question would be, since God knows this before we're even talking, why did he record it? Why did he make sure that every word and every letter was recorded? He tells us. It says, Jesus didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but he waded right in and he rescued us. The way the scripture puts it is this: I, the Lord, took on the troubles of the troubled. God had this written in Holy Scripture long ago. You can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and generous kindness in Scripture to come to characterize us, his people. The Lord wants to keep us alert for whatever he will do next. So it's not written to make us angry or frustrated or perplexed or confused. Instead, the Bible says, these things happened to them as an example and were written as a warning for us to whom the end of time has come. So those who think they're standing need to watch out or else they may fall. What was happening to Judah, and we're going to see it again in the very shortly, is they are like a bunch of children on a beautiful day like today, and they say, oh, Mom, guess what? It snowed last night. Isn't this great? Can I go outside? And before Mom or Dad can say anything, they go zooming outside. No coat, no galoshes, nothing warm. They're just going to have a fun time. Any parent who loves his child will go out after them, yank them back in. The children of Israel were not like that. They went outside to play. They chased after every little snowflake. And as the sun was starting to set, they kept on running and playing. They didn't need to listen to their mom or dad. They did not need to listen to God. And as the sun was setting, you and I know that going into a dark woods on a cold night, they're not going to last long. They're going to die unless somebody intervenes. The children of Israel were like that. God wanted them to come inside and be wrapped up in his warmth. And they said, no, 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 no. We got a better plan. We got another snowflake to check. And they went and ran after the snowflake. Here's chapter 17, so you can remember what you got through reading.
King Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, was only 12 years old when he became king. He was very different from his father, doing all sorts of evil things. He led the people to worship false gods and even built an altar to Baal inside the temple of God. Things got so bad that God brought the Assyrian army against Manasseh. They put a hook in his nose and led him away to the city of Babylon as a prisoner. In his suffering, Manasseh humbled himself and prayed to God. God was moved by his prayer and allowed Manasseh to be set free and return home. For a few years, things began to improve, and the Israelites began to follow God again. They even discovered the book containing all of the laws of Moses, which had been lost for many years. The people learned once again what it was like to live in God's ways. But soon, things got much, much worse. The kings who ruled over Judah once again led the people away from God. Then one day, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, attacked the Israelites, nearly destroying the temple Solomon had built. He captured almost all of the Israelites, including the best warriors, workers, and artists, and sent them to Babylon. Only a few of the poorest Israelites were allowed to stay to take care of the fields. God sent two prophets, Jeremiah, to those left in Jerusalem, and Ezekiel to those living in Babylon. Unfortunately, the news was bad. Because they had done so much evil, God allowed the city of Jerusalem, their home, to be almost completely destroyed and the rest of the Israelites sent to Babylon. But the prophet Ezekiel told the Israelites living in Babylon that God would not forget about them, that God would one day rescue and restore them. God even gave Ezekiel a vision that he was standing in a valley full of bones. There was a rattling sound, and the bones began to come together, and tendons and flesh appeared on them. Finally, God had Ezekiel command the breath of life to enter the bodies, and they came to life. God told Ezekiel the meaning of the vision. These bones are the whole house of Israel. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am God.
The verse that we're going to be looking at to help us focus on all of the things that are in this chapter is from Jeremiah chapter 6. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you replied, no, that's not the road we want. Ask for the old paths. Is God talking about tradition here? We already know from last week he is not talking about tradition. He answered with fire and against all the tradition of the Baal and the Asherah, which had set up camp for quite a few decades among the Israelites. We know that he's not talking about the traditions of a style of music or a style of clothing or way of eating. God is not about that kind of stuff. That's all the outside stuff. God is after our hearts. So what does he mean when he says, ask for the old paths? This is what he says in the book of Jeremiah. From when I, the Lord, brought your forefathers out of Egypt, and I spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices. I gave them this command, obey me. I will be your God. You will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen. They did not pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. Ask for the old paths. Does Jesus say the same thing today? Yes, he does. In the book of Luke, he says this. Jesus said, I'm sorry, it's from Luke. Bystanders talking to Jesus and says, Master, will only a few be saved? And Jesus said this, whether few or many, it's none of your business. Put your mind on your life with God. The way to life, the way to God is hearty and requires your total attention. A lot of you are going to assume that you'll sit down to God's salvation banquet just because you've been hanging around the neighborhood with all your lives. Well, one day, you're going to be banging on the door wanting to get in, but you'll find the door locked. And the master's saying, sorry, you're not on my guest list. That's what's happening to the kingdom of Judah. They thought they were doing all the cool things. They were making sure that they knew a little bit about the Lord, and then they would just add things to the worship that God had said it was okay to do. And so whatever sounded good to them at the moment, that's what they followed. That's what they taught their children. And then, of course, their children taught their children. Manasseh was really good at that. The Lord says that he seduced the people to follow after other gods. He found a way to make it sound so good. Just this last week, listening in the radio, we are being taught that work is evil. God set up work in the Garden of Eden before sin. We're told that work is just an evolutionary thing of how things happen. No. God invented it. So just like marriage is under attack, one man and one woman, so work is under attack. God says one thing, people say another. God says one thing, people dream up something else to go against what God says in his word. It happens all the time. The first time I became aware of this as a parent was when my little girl came up to me and she mouthed off something to me and she had her hands on her hips and this little squirt was there. And I said, what are you saying? How dare you do that? Don't say that. She said, these are my feelings. My teacher said these are my feelings and my feelings are okay. So we had a nice chat. I said, your feelings are not okay. You are not an animal. At that time, she had to go to a public school. The public school must teach you evolution. It's the law. You are not an animal. You have control over your feelings. You're not a dog. And you have definite control over your mouth. And the Lord says, control your mouth. Now, to help you remember this, if you decide to try something like this again, it'll be a painful reminder on your hind end. Don't do this. Control your feelings. Not all feelings are good. Some of those feelings are not good. The Lord says feelings of hatred and greed and envy and discontent and jealousy. Those are all evil feelings and they come from an evil heart. And God says, don't. You put those down. You put those aside. Whatever is good and pure and noble and lovely, that's what I want you to watch. So, go ask for the old ways. This is what it says in Jeremiah. The Lord told me to stand by the gate of the temple and to tell the people who were going in that, the Lord all-powerful, the Lord of God Israel, tell them what he has said. Pay attention, people of Judah. Change your ways. Start living right. Then I, the Lord, will let you keep on living in your own country. Don't fool yourselves. My temple is here in Jerusalem, but that does not mean I will protect you. I will keep you safe only if you change your ways. Be fair and honest with each other. Stop taking advantage of foreigners and orphans and widows. Don't kill innocent people. Stop worshiping other gods. Then I will let you enjoy a long life in this land, the land I gave your ancestors. But look at what's happening. You put your trust in worthless lies. You steal and murder. You lie in court. You're unfaithful in marriage. You worship idols. You offer incense to Baal when these gods have never done anything for you. And then you come to my temple and you worship me. Do you think I will protect you so that you can go on sinning? You are thieves. You've made my temple your hideout, but I've seen everything you have done. Who? The Lord knows exactly what's going on. He knows that his people in this day and age, they were going through a big sham. They're putting on their religious stuff, and they're getting in the car and going to the temple and coming out of the car, being a nice temple person, and then afterwards, going back and doing the same old thing. This is what the Lord says. Ask around. Do a survey of the godless nations. Has anyone heard the likes of this before? My own people behave like prostitutes. My own people have left me, the truth, to worship a big lie. My own people have gotten off the track, ran away from the old, well-worn trail I had given them, and now they bushwhack through underbrush and stinging nettle into a tangle of roots and vines, and their land is going to end up a mess. A fool's memorial to be spit on. Did you know that a time will come when total strangers traveling through will shake their heads in disbelief? So listen up. I, the Lord, will scatter my people before their enemies like autumn leaves on a high wind, like snowflakes in a winter storm. On their day of doom, they will stare at my back as I walk away. They will not catch so much as a glimpse of my face. Why, you ask? It is because they have left me, their only hope. They have turned their back on light and truth. How did that happen? He goes on to say, my people have forgotten me. What a damning sentence that is. My people have forgotten me. Even though the Lord was so kind and so gracious and repeatedly sent out warning after warning after warning, change your ways, change your ways, change your ways, they said, no, I like what I'm doing, Lord. I think there's a lot of different ways to get into heaven. Your way is among them. It's probably one of the better ones, Lord. But, you know, there's this other way here and this other way here. And who am I to say that this is wrong or that's wrong? And the Lord says there is a right. There is a wrong. The Lord says he puts a curse on those who switch it around and say sweetness is bitter and bitter is sweet. So when you play fast and loose with the sixth commandment that guards God's gift of sex and marriage, when you play fast and loose with that, the truth is you wind up shredding your heart, shredding the hearts of others, and possibly shredding your health. The truth is, when you play fast and loose with God's gift of a good name, not only do you trash other people's, but you wind up lonely. You're always winding up being hurt yourself when you go against the living God, because God's word is rock solid and it does not move. God's people, we still face similar things today. As we're going through God's word, we're looking at things in God's word, we find out things again and again that, my goodness, what does the Lord say? He tells me as your pastor that I am supposed to teach you. I'm supposed to teach you things that you like to hear. I'm supposed to teach you things that you don't like to hear. It says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And what's the response? All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So again, Jesus says, with all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you. It may be that some people will not listen to what we say in this letter. Take note of them. Don't associate with them so they'll feel ashamed. There are endless pathways. You just have to open up a book or a magazine. Going through the checkout line, I've heard how many times that the world's coming to an end next week. And it's not true. There's all sorts of lies out there that will lead you astray, all sorts of things that look really cool, and it's not cool. Now, my pastor told me this when I was growing up. When I was in confirmation class, my confirmation class told me this same thing. And guess what? I got to high school, And I did something I do not want you to imitate. I took my confirmation, my catechism book, and I put it on the shelf, and I didn't open it up. Ah, don't do that. If you have not opened up your catechism book as a grown-up, find it, get it out, and start going through it again. It's a great summary of what God is putting in his word. And he's put it in there. Why? Because he wants us to be blessed, to come on out of the blizzard and get all warmed up with his love and forgiveness, to remember who is the God who really is in control and who really loves us. It says, be careful not to allow anyone to captivate you through an empty, deceitful philosophy that is according to human traditions and the elemental spirits of this world, not according to Christ. Jesus said, their worship of me is empty because they teach human rules as doctrines of God. So what are we to do? God says, set up the road signs, put up the guideposts, take note of the highway, take note of the road that you take, return. The Lord wants us to return. So, if you have been taken by the hook and the nose and you've been led off somewhere by some doctrine somewhere, something is not quite right, and you find out, oh, this is not quite right, don't sit there and say, oh, woe is me, it's not quite right. No, what you do is you say, Lord, thank you for letting me see that this is not right. Thank you for yanking me back inside. Thank you for letting me see this truth. Help me to get to understand it a little bit better, so I know who you are a little bit better. So I know that your love for me is amazing. It encompasses a love that I'll spend the rest of my days looking at. Can you imagine this? The God who creates snowflakes, the God who counts the number of hairs on my head, the God who knows how often I sleep and wake up and when I'm doing what I'm doing in my bedroom, that God became one of me. A human being with emotions, with temptations, and he never once failed doing the perfect thing. Even his trust, his faith in God was perfect. Because when God turned his back on him, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? His last words were, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. A perfect trust, as you and I have so many doubts. A perfect God, because we are not perfect. And this great God of ours, when he came back to life again, he says, peace, learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. Seek out the old paths. Seek out the old paths. This is what the Bible says. We too constantly thank God that when you receive God's message that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human message, but as it truly is God's message, which is at work among you who believe. Everyone who goes on ahead and doesn't remain with the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who remains in this teaching has both the Father and the Son. So the old paths are not whether I wear a white robe and vestments and chant, or whether we sit in pews or in chairs. The old paths go way, way back. When God first created everything and he said in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth, goes back to the very beginning when God spoke and time came into existence. When God spoke to a bunch of dust that he had formed into a figure of a man, and the man became a living being. Oh, my dear friends, you and I have that word. God's word is the same today as it was back then. That's the old paths. Become very familiar with those paths. Keep on getting to know God better and better for Jesus' sake. Amen.